fantastic. Great being here this morning. Really look forward to it so much. I'm a kind of man that likes to operate out of practice. Practice is not bad. Good habits are good habits. I've got some bad habits that I wouldn't like to tell you about. Ask my wife. And so I was up early, went on my normal devotions and all the rest. And so I came through earlier. Although the service started at 9:30, I was in Malpois at my normal time, but I decided to go down to the beachfront, spend some time just reading and praying and thanking God for people and praying for this congregation, saying, Lord, whoever comes this morning, I don't know what their week has been like. I don't know what their month has been like. I don't know what storm they're facing. But would you minister to them this morning? Would you come and bring your presence to them? Because that's what God does. He wants to come to you. He's always with you, but He wants to come to you in your time of need. If you're ready to receive the Word of God, just do something symbolic with me. I know it sounds crazy, but just put your hand over your heart, because the heart is the wellspring of your life. Lord, here I am in your presence. You know where I've been. You know what's happened in my life. And this morning, you control the events of everything. So I surrender to you. Open my ears that I may hear your word. Open my heart that I may receive your word. Cause my mind to dwell on what you have promised me. Your presence. In Jesus' name, and God's people with a resounding amen said, fantastic. Well, I was able to spend some time last week. Feels like it's been forever. But last week, so I wasn't at the changeover to the first service last week. But we were in Plettenberg Bay, and we spent a wonderful time, my wife and I. Bobby wasn't well. She was carrying a bad bronchitis and a flu, but we booked the place, and we wanted to be away. And it was in my morning time when I get to read and pray and be still in God's presence, which is a practice, that God spoke to me from a passage I was reading. And I jotted it down, and I thought, that's the word I want to bring this morning. You see, I've been deeply burdened for months for our country, for the state of our nation, but for the people. The masses, I'm not just talking about our congregation, but the masses, there's a sense of turmoil. And as I read this passage, it's about Paul in Acts chapter 27, and Paul is in a storm. And as I read verse 20, it came alive to me. Acts 27 and verse 20. A terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars, until at last all hope was gone. A storm, a place of your inner world can come to a place that you can't see the sun. It can be a beautiful day, but you can't see it. At night, when the stars are out, all you see is darkness. And then hope begins to slip away. I began to think about storms. I was at the sea coast, and there were beautiful days, and there was a day where the wind and the rain, and then the sea came up with its tide, and I watched the waves bash against the rocks, and I imagined what Paul must have been facing. That made me think about storms, and so I did a bit of looking, and more attentively looking at storms that have been happening across the world. In fact, the one I drew attention to happened on the 16th September, Hurricane Mangkhut, which hit the Philippines, South Asia, South China, and Hong Kong. It was recorded as the worst storm ever to hit Hong Kong ever on record. 270,000 people and 82 people lost their lives. 270,000 lost their homes and 82 people lost their lives. The storm was vicious. Damage is estimated for that region up to $100 billion, which is about 20 gazillion rand. Just devastation. But then I noticed that there were no fatalities in Hong Kong. No one died. There was damage, buildings, but no one died. No people. I couldn't understand, and I did some research and looked, and I found that the authorities and the people of Hong Kong were prepared to face a storm. Lots of effort, lots of energy, lots of preparation had gone in getting the people ready to face the storms that happened often in that part of the world. And so this morning, I want to take some time and teach and share with you how you should be prepared to face the storms, because that's what Jesus did. Jesus taught his disciples the storms you will face going ahead in life, the storms you will face tomorrow, and maybe the storm you're in right now, or maybe the storm that's coming. You see, Jesus taught and prepared his disciples and his followers and our people here this morning under my pastoring. He says, you're going to face storms. I need to prepare you for them. You see, if you read the Gospels, Jesus taught his disciples that there will always be storms in life. There is no place that you can ever go that there won't be some level of storm. In John chapter 16, verse 33, in this godless world, Jesus told them, you will continue to experience difficulties, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Tries to teach his disciples that storms are the reality that you will face. In John chapter 17, a few verse chapters later, he actually prays for his disciples in verse 15. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. What he's trying to teach them is that the reality is you will face storms. They're going to come. Prepare for them. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, Jesus declares his manifesto, which is called the declaration of his intent, the Sermon on the Mount. He says, this is how my kingdom's going to run. You see how the Romans run their world, but this is the way I will run our world. Our churches are not run like other organizations. We operate under the lordship of Jesus. And he's saying, in my kingdom, I'm the king. And so he finishes teaching and he lands in chapter 7. And he uses these words to them. Chapter 7, verse 24 to 29. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Like a person who builds his house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and flood waters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it's built on solid rock, on a bedrock. What Jesus is saying, you're going to face the storms. There are going to be floods, hardships. They're going to come, but you can overcome them if you build your life on my teachings. Excuse me. If you hold on to what I say, you will overcome them. If you follow me and obey me, When the rain and storms come, you won't collapse and fall away. Because you built your rock upon me. And I'm deeply aware this morning, deeply aware, that some of you are facing some of the worst storms you've ever faced in your life, raging around you. You feel discouraged. It could be a financial storm, a parenting storm, a health storm, a storm where you're starting to lose hope. Will it ever come right? Like a young lady who faced a sudden storm in our Edge Meet congregation, who my wife made contact with. Just went for a regular checkup. Just the normal. She's in her late 30s, early 40s. Only to find out that she has rampant stage 2 cancer. What a storm. Unexpected, just came up. Well, like a friend of mine, when I got the phone call a month ago, he's a childhood friend. We played in the neighborhood together. We played sport together. Grew up alongside each other. Started feeling nauseous one day. His wife hounded him. He's not one to go to doctors. And then he got up from there and he felt a bit giddy and he went off to see the doctor. I better go check, he said. Rampant stomach cancer. What's the storm you're facing? God wants to come into your storm. God wants you to be prepared. And my desire this morning is to teach on that. And at the end, we're going to pray on how to face the storms of life. Jesus, with his disciples, went through two storms recorded in the Gospels. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 and verse 37, Jesus was actually in the boat when they were caught in a storm. And they were gripped by fear, and he calms the storm. I want you to notice one verse in that passage, and I'm going to read it. The disciples woke him up, shouting, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." And Jesus says, "Why are you afraid?" Fear dominates when we don't know how to control things. Now, this one I want to focus on this morning is the second passage where Jesus is caught in a storm. And it's going to come up on the screen, Matthew chapter 14, 22 to 33. It's a lengthy passage, but I'd like to read it, and I'd like you to take notice of it on the screen. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake, while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from the land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I'm here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshipped him. You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. I'm not going to focus on Peter. I'm going to focus on the others in the boat. But I am going to focus on the fact that fear gripped them. Let me give you the background to this passage. The story unfolds, and it takes place at the Sea of Galilee. At the end of a long, hard, exhausting day for Jesus in ministry, this is when the scene takes place. Early on that day, in chapter 14, we read that Jesus had just gotten the sad, tragic news that his cousin, John the Baptist, had been brutally killed, beheaded by Herod. When he got the news, he withdrew. Scripture says he wanted to go to a remote place to be alone, to mourn and to grieve his cousin. But the crowds began to follow him, and they moved with him wherever he went. And because of compassion, Jesus lays down his pain. Jesus lays down his own mourning and begins to minister to the people, praying for them and caring for them. Soon evening approached of that day, and Jesus expresses his concern for the people, along with the disciples, that they hadn't eaten all day. And so Jesus performs the miracle of the 5,000 feeding of them with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Finally, Jesus sends the crowd home. He's exhausted. He's overwhelmed. You see, he was facing his own storm. He was facing his own pain. And Jesus felt he needed to be alone. He knew where to go when he's in pain. He needed to know where to go when he's overwhelmed. The Bible says it was his practice. Jesus sent the disciples away without him in the boat. And he goes up to a hill to pray. You see, that was Jesus' practice, that he went aside to gain his strength and refreshment. And suddenly the disciples out in that boat, there's a strong wind and the high waves beat against the boat. They thought they would have been engulfed by the waves. They panicked. Fear gripped them. You see, when a storm comes your way, our natural response is to panic, to be overwhelmed with fear, to become discouraged, and to lose hope. Now, in the midst of this storm, Jesus had taught them previously that he is the Lord of everything, but now he had to show it to them. There are times that you know things about the Bible. You know what the Bible says, but you hit a storm. And God has to come to you to remind you who's in control. Jesus wanted to teach the disciples the very lessons of what they will have to endure when they face challenges and storms. And he wants to teach you, and I want to teach you, that I faced my storms. I faced those moments when I felt this is just too much. When I've got my medical reports of cancer, I faced them. And Jesus is saying, you're going to face the storms. I want to teach you how to overcome them. I want to give you a new mantra. I want to give you a new script for the storm. I want you to hear these words that I'm going to speak over your life when it comes to them. You see, the overriding principle Jesus wanted to teach them right through the whole journey of walking with Him was that He was always going to be with them. And that He will always find them wherever they are. He's never going to forsake them, never abandon them, never desert them, never leave them. That's what He wanted them to hear. He wants you to know that. You don't see Him in the storm. You think it's an apparition, just like the disciples did. It's hard to believe that God can be with you in the storm. But you see, God wants you to know that. In the Mark account of this passage that I read from Matthew, the scripture says that He saw them from the hilltop, that they were in serious trouble. Please look at me. Forget everything I teach today. But look at me and hear these words. I believe it's prophetic. God knows where you are at. Can somebody say amen? God's eyes never off you. Genesis 28 verse 15. I am with you and I watch over you wherever you go. Deuteronomy 11, 12, the Lord's eyes continually on you from the beginning to the end. Psalm 128 and verse 8, the Lord watches over your coming and going both now and forevermore. If you lose that foundation, you will be not able to stand against any storm. That's the bedrock on which you have to build. I'm watching. I'm going to come to you. You think I've left you. And so Jesus comes to them. And the three things I want to ask you, and I give you full permission to tattoo it on your arm somewhere. I don't have tattoos, but I'm just saying this. Write these three things against somewhere on your fridge. Place it there. When you get that gear to eat at night, just look at those words. When you're restless and you can't sleep at night, take it, write it in your Bible. The three things that Jesus told them in the storm. Write this down. It's going to come up. Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here. I almost want to make it like a recitation. You know, we used to do at school, repeat after me. Don't be afraid. The scripture says Jesus spoke that at once to them. Don't be afraid. Take courage. I'm here. When you're in a storm, you need to remember these three things. You see, every day I meet people who live afraid and anxious. Every day. South Africa has one of the highest rates of anxiety. Fear. Anxiety is in a generalized fear. In other words, you fear everything. You're free for life. You fear for the unknowns, your failure, diseases, financial future. You fear because you don't have enough. You fear because you have so much. But when fear grips you, it controls you. It drives the way you live, how you respond. And Satan's greatest weapon, and the most popular weapon he uses against the children of God, is fear. In the first incident, when they were in the storm, fear. In the second one, fear. In today's storm that you're facing, one of the things you're going to have to confront is fear. Fear intimidates. Satan intimidates us with fear. And when you allow fear and worry to grip you and anxiety to grip you, your faith diminishes. Fear will kill your dreams. Fear will kill your vision. Fear will say, there is no one with me here. I'm all alone. God has forsaken me. That's the language of fear. And Jesus confronts it straight away and he says, don't fear. I'm here. Scholars tell us there are 365 verses in the Bible that refers to not fearing. One for every day of the year. And one scholar said, I found the 366 for that leap year as well. Let me share you three verses that have been my anchor. I know he's there, but I don't sense him at times in a storm. And so I have to put my heart into believing him. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Do not fear, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Psalm 56 and verse 3. When I was afraid, I put my trust in God. And Philippians chapter 4 verse 6. Don't worry about everything. That means don't be fearful. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all that he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ. God in your heart and God in your mind. That's where the enemy attacks. The second thing that Jesus tells his disciples, take courage. Now, courage is not, in the biblical sense, self-confidence or bravado. You know, the tough man, I can do it. I'm just going to push through. That's not what courage is here. Courage is not simply risking. I'm a gambler. I'll take a chance. I've got the courage. If it goes wrong, it goes wrong. That's not the courage the Bible talks. Biblical courage is not depending on your own strength and ability, but putting your hope and your trust in someone you can trust. Someone you can depend on. So when all else fails and Jesus says, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. I've got my eye on you. Yes, yes, I've got the courage to face the unknown because you are watching over me. Not because I'm so confident in myself. Courage is saying, I'm trusting God because he is faithful. Courage and trust go hand in hand. Be strong and courageous. Strong in what? Strong in the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2 says, for I know in whom I trust, and I'm sure he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return. He says, listen, he's never broken a promise. And I'm going to trust him until the day he's returned, and for sure he's coming back. And so Jesus commands you. He speaks to you. Be courageous. And the last thing he says to them. So he says, firstly, don't be afraid. You're standing on the bedrock of the fact that he's always watching you. Then you've got to hear this word, don't be afraid. Be courageous. And then he caps it with, I am here. I want you to hear, I am here. The I am part was the very same word that God the Father, when he called Moses to go to do the impossible and to lead a nation in Exodus chapter 3 out of captivity. He was so afraid. He had no courage. He was gripped by fear. He made excuses. I can't do this. I stutter. I've got no courage. I'm a failure. Don't you know my past? I've messed up so many times. I killed a man. I was a prince and I ran away. I'm a nobody in the desert. Who's going to go with me? Who's going to believe me? And God answers him. When they ask you who sends you, say, I am. Send, you know what that word means? I am everything you ever will need. I am the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. I am the Lord your God. Jesus uses the same words. In your storm, I am is there. And I need an amen on that one. He's right there. I close with this verse. John chapter 10 and verse 28. No one will snatch them away from me. For my Father has given them to me. And He, the I Am, is more powerful than anyone else. You need to know that God's eye is on you in the storm. And that He comes to you to remind you. And you need to rewrite a new script for your life. You need to rewrite these words in your mind. Because He will guard your heart and He'll guard your mind. You need to reprogram your mind. No, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to have the courage because I Am is with me. You're going to have to say that over and over. I say that all the time. It's tattooed on my heart. I am. You don't have to be afraid. I am with you. The I Am is with you. Not just I'm around. The Almighty is with you. You can have courage. That means trust me. You don't need to be afraid. Would you bow your heads with me? I want you to take a deep breath. A deep breath and just exhale all the tension that you feel. And I want you to open your heart. God. Tell Him what storm you're facing. Tell Him. Is it my marriage? It's my work? It's my finance? It's my health? Tell Him. Tell Him. My disappointments. My letdown. And I want you to know that Jesus is coming to you right now. I want you to imagine He's walking towards you. Because He's been watching you. And He's saying to you, don't be afraid. Take courage, John. You can trust me. And I am here with you. Take a few moments with God this morning. You have a need this morning. You feel you're in a storm. Slip your hand in the air. Just keep it up. Don't be embarrassed. It's God looking, not me. We want to minister to you in prayer now. Just keep your hand up. You're in His presence.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're the one that said to us that just keep looking at me, looking at my eyes. And when you said to Peter, don't look down, don't look away, don't look at the size of the waves, you just keep looking at me. Father, and I believe you saying to your children this morning, the ones with their hands in the air, saying, I have not given you a spirit of fear. I have not given you a spirit of fear. Because the spirit that lives in you is my very own spirit, the Holy Spirit, the teacher, the counselor, the guide, the one that is forever and ever fighting on your behalf. I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind and of power. Father, and I want to release that same power that you've given Jesus, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead was the Holy Spirit. That same power lives in everyone sitting here this morning. And when you come and when you say, by my power, you have been set free, you will rise. You will come through. I will not forsake or leave you. Thank you, Jesus, that I can release your favor, your goodness, your love, that power that you said resound in us, that you would stir that up this morning, Holy Spirit, again, that you will stand up, that you will rise in everyone that is saying, I am scared this morning. Jesus, thank you that you are not scared because you have defeated that makes us scared. Thank you that you're in control, and thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness. Jesus, in that moment when you stepped into the boat and you calmed the seas, they looked at you and they said, who is this man that even the wind and the waves subside? Jesus, thank you that the wind and the waves will subside this morning because your voice is present. Your power is present. You are present. And we thank you for that, Jesus.